This week's parsha is Parshas Emor. Basically, the whole parsha is speaking about the halachas of the kahuna and their kedusha and the service in the Beis HaMikdash. So, we're going to go through, it speaks also about Sefiras HaOmer, which is also interesting that it's in this parsha. And then it's the other festivals are brought in, starting with Pesach, ending up with the end of the year with Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and then we go into right at the end of this din of Mekalel Hashem, the situation where one of Bnei Yisrael was Mekalel Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shem HaMefurash. So we always say that when you learn a parasha, the beginning or the title of the parasha says something very important about the whole parasha. So this parasha is called Emor. Emor means say, speech. It's not a hard speech, but it's a speech. So we have to understand what this Kedusha has to do with speech. So let's just read. Let's see some of the dinim of the Kahuna and see how we can relate them. So it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el HaKohanim, speak to the Kohanim, Bnei Aaron, the children of Aaron, v'amalta alehim, and tell to them, l'nefesh lo yitama be'amav, to a soul, literally, you shouldn't become tameh in his people. And then, it's going now through a whole list, ki im l'sheiro hakorov elav, to his wife, li'imo l'aviv, to his mother, to his father, livno, libito, l'achiv, to his son, to his daughter, to his brother, to his sister Habtula, Krovaylav, his sister is still unmarried. Shelo Aitale Ish, La Itama. But everyone else, Lo Itama Baal Ba'amav. This person shouldn't be Mitame, Baal Ba'amav Lechalo. And that's Mechalal him. Okay, so the first law of Kohuna, the Chora, is this inyan of not becoming Tame. It's not a din by Yisrael. And it's in din noheg even bismanenu, right? Even nowadays. That's why Kohanim can't go to Beit HaKfaros. Kohanim, when they go on planes, right, have to be careful the plane doesn't go over Beit HaKfaros. There's all sorts of dinim that associate with Kohanim, even today. What's this vort? What's this thing that they shouldn't become tame? Why? What's this inyan of tumah? What's, all of us today is now tamei mesim. What's this concept? Even for other Yidden, there is this concept of Kedusha that you don't become Tame. What is this concept, not become Tame? You know, you touch a dead body, you touch a sheretz, you touch different things which are all usually some form of dead or some sort of uselessness about the thing, that it had usefulness and became useless. That's usually associated with Tuma. What is Vort? It seems Tuma, like we spoke beforehand, Tuma is a concept of atima, of disjoint, of disconnection. That's what it seems to be. So an association with anything which is disjoint or disconnected, any association brings that upon the person. A Kohen, the tachlis of a Kohen, the purpose of a Kohen is to do what? The purpose of the Kohen is to bring korbanos. Those korbanos are supposed to bring us connection, bring us kirva, bring us closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since the tachlis, the purpose of a Kohen, is to bring on that connection, that's what he represents, he has to be disjointed completely from anything which brings disconnection. And that's Tuma. So since he's that thing which brings the connection of the Jewish people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to represent that connection. And that connection has to be a disassociation with things which disconnect. So, if that's the vort, All these things must be things which disconnect you. So then it goes on and it tells you he shouldn't like shave his head or the pears, right? He shouldn't make saratet, how you say it's like indentation sort of thing on his arms, and he should be kodesh lelokeichem. V'lo yechalel shem elokeichem ki et ishe Hashem lechem elokeichem ki hem makrivim vayu kodesh. Now it says because the korbanos, the lechem elokeichem, they're makrivim vayu kodesh, and that's the reason for the kedusha. Because those are the people, like I said, they are the people who are bringing the korbanos. They're the people bringing us closer. They can have to be separated from all those things that separate you, or any connections with those that separate you, or tem you, which disconnect you from connection with your Creator. Then it goes on, and all these laws of marriage, right? They can't marry an isha zona, a grusha. Zona means anyone who's osa to them for marriage, right? Or anyone who was what's it called, who had relations with someone who they couldn't have kedushin with. For example, nowadays it's very prevalent shaila. If you have a Baal Tshuva who's a kohen, and he's a definite kohen, right? It's a question if he's a definite kohen. But if he is a definite kohen, so if chas v'shalom a girl had relations with someone like a goy who they can't marry, they become a zona, and therefore a kohen can't marry them. A Jew can marry them, but a kohen can't marry them. So it becomes a shaila, becomes a big problem for Baal Tshuva, who's a kohen, sometimes to find the proper person to marry. It's harder for him. But that's the kedusha of kahuna. So we see also, why is this? Why is it that he can't connect with a girl like that? Why is that an improper marriage? Why a grusha? Anything, a kohen can only marry, and you see later on, a kohen gadol, he can marry an almana, someone whose husband died. But when a kohen gadol can't even marry an almana. A kohen gadol has to marry a betula, someone who's hadn't had marital relations. So we see this concept of marriage and who you marry is a concept of kedusha. A kohen has to marry someone who's had no other connections, certainly no other improper connections. Because when you have an improper connection, that takes you and associates you with that improper connection. You with me? So a woman who has an improper connection, or even is married to someone else and became divorced, right? She was connected with something else. A kohen can't connect to that. A kohen's connection to a woman has to be completely with kedusha, because he represents a full and proper connection. A grusha had another connection. She was connected to someone else, and she remains somewhat connected. Someone who's a kohen gadol, right, can't marry only someone who's a betula, who didn't have marital relations. So she's only connected to him. You with me? So that we see from this parasha, this concept of kedusha in marriage. Kedusha in marriage is a very, very important thing. And we see that a person, the kohen who represents that which is to connect Klal Yisrael, has to marry someone in a way that he's completely connected, and that this person doesn't have any previous connections. You understand what I'm saying? Explain. We're just going through the parasha. It's going on to explain, yeah, that a kohen, right, who has a mum, he can't bring an offering. Why? Just as we're going to see also that an offering itself can't have a mum. And if he does bring that offering in Pasuk Kav Gimel, ach ela parochet lo yavo ve la mizbeach lo yigash ki mumbo ve lo yichalel et mikdashai ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. He shouldn't be mechalel. He shouldn't profane the mikdash because I am mekadesh them. Right now, from that we learn. Rashi brings. We learn when if he does an avoda and he has a mum, a blemish, that avoda is pasul. It's not a good avoda. And it's very simple to understand. What's a Kohen there for? Kiviyocho, when a person does an Aveira, he's blemished. So now he has to remove that blemish. So, since he has to remove that blemish, it has to be done with someone who has no blemishes. A Kohen should therefore, a Kohen who has an obvious blemish, it's not a proper avoda. The avoda has to be perfect, because he's coming to perfect something which was blemished, something which was nifgam. So his avoda has to be a perfect avoda. Therefore, the Kohen can't have that blemish, nor too can the Korban have that blemish. You with me? So that's also an explanation of that. Clear? However, the blemished person can eat from the korbanos. He can eat. That's not a problem. Right? That's also brought down here. Now what else? Then after we speak about the korbanos, right? I'm skipping a few dinim. I'm just giving the main dinim. We're now in Perek Kaf Gimel. We're speaking now of the Moadei Hashem. So we speak about Shabbos. Like Shabbos, the shorish of the Moadim. Right? Because the Moadim are also in a certain way called Shabbos. Right? And then we go through Pesach in Pasuk Dalet, Hey. Right? It's Mikra Kodesh. And you have to bring the Korbanos to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? And then after that, we speak about the Ktzira and Hanafas of the Omer. The bringing of the Omer. Usfaltem Lachem Imacharas HaShabbos. And there's a big question here. Why it says in Pasuk Tetzvav, Kaf Gimel Tetzvav, you should count the day from after Shabbos, Miyom HaViyachem Et HaOmer, HaTznufa, Sheva Shabbatot Mimot Tiena. You should count 7 complete weeks. Ad Mimacharat HaShabbat HaShvi'it, till the end of the 7th week, Tisperu Chamishim Yom. You should count 50 days. V'kravtim minchet chadasha l'Hashem. And you should bring a new minchet to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, we're in Sfiras HaOmer, so we're going to speak a little bit about Sfiras HaOmer here. So, there's a big question here. It says you should count for yourself. So the Mishnah Berurah brings in a bi'alacha. What do you mean count for yourself? You yourself should count. Someone else can't count and be yotzi for you. There's an opinion like that. I think it's, right? You can't count for you. Why? Because it says Sfartim Lachem. Just as lekachtem lachem, you have to bring a lulav for yourself. Someone else can't bring a lulav for you. You have to hold the lulav. So too, the sphere has to be you yourself. It's an individual avoda. It's your own personal avoda. And how do you do it? Through counting, through speech. Right? And then it says you should count 7 weeks, complete weeks. And it says you should count them after Shabbos. And you should count, then it says, you should count 50 days. 7 weeks, how many days is that? 49. So how come the Torah says 50 days? But it doesn't have a count. Right?
Well,
that doesn't happen often, right? So we have to understand what's doing here. And also, what's this for? Mimachros HaShabbos. Do we count after Shabbos? Or do we count after Pesach? Why is the Torah using the Lashon for Pesach Shabbos? Why here by Sfiras HaOmer? First, let's try and understand. We said that Shabbos is the Shorish for the Moadim. What is Shabbos Bereishis? Shabbos represents when the Kodesh Baruch Hu stopped from creating the world. I.e., just as the Kodesh Baruch Hu stopped from creating the world, we stop and we keep our Shabbos. And we said it before once in the Mishkan, that just as the Mishkan, we stop from creating the world, so to speak, from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, just as he stopped from creating our physical world. That's why we learn the Melachas of Shabbos from the Mishkan. Right? So, we're associating, our Shvisis of Shabbos is the recognition of God's creating the world. I.e., the creation of the world and that Emunah, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. What's Pesach? Pesach, God could have created the world, Chas V'Shalom, and left it. You know, there are philosophers who think that. The eclipse, Chas V'Shalom, of God. That God created and left the world. He left us to do whatever we want. Baruch Hashem, he did. Right? But Pesach tells us that God's involvement in the world. That's what we say. Every day we say, Zeicher leyetziat Mitzrayim. Remembering the coming out of Egypt. What do you remember in coming out of Egypt? We went out. What do you remember? To remember the miracles, to remember God's hashkacha that's with us every day. So there's two aspects. There's the aspect of God creating the world, and Pesach tells us that God's involved in the world. There's two things. Yeah? The creation of the world effectively is being told to us that that creation is all the time. God's involvement in the world and involvement with us, right? And his recreation, we say every Natfilah, we say he creates the world every day. Right? So when you woke up in the morning, boom! The sun woke up with you. Right? The stars woke up with you at night. Whatever. Right? There's a somehow recreation of the world. The world in this uniform way is being created and recreated and held all the time. You with me? It says a very interesting thing. We forgot our Rashi, but if we go back, it says Vayechulu, right? If you remember that? Sorry. Before Vayechulu it says Yom HaShishi. Why it says Yom HaShishi? It doesn't say Ha by any other. It says Yom Revi, Yom Chamishi, Yom HaShishi. Why it says the extra say by Yom HaShishi? It says Rashi, Hosif Hei B'Shishi, it adds the Hei in Yom HaShishi, B'Gmah Maisa Breishis, at the end of the completion of the world, Loma, to tell us, Shehitna imahim, he made a condition with them, Amanat sheikablu aleim Yisrael chamisha chumshei Torah, they'll keep the Torah. Dava acher, another word, right? Yom hashishi, kulam, the whole world, tluyim va'omdim, is dependent and standing, al yom hashishi, v'hu shishi v'sivan, that's the sixth day of Sivan. Yeah? Okay. So it means the whole tachlis of the creation. The whole creation was there holding and waiting for what? For Sivan. Says the Gemara, the Torah was given on Shabbos. Matan Torah was on Shabbos. Which is interesting. Right? If you understand, it's interesting. We're starting from the Macharas of Shabbos, after Shabbos, and we're counting 49 days, and we're reaching Shabbos. We're going from Shabbos to Shabbos with a sphera. So what's this concept? What's this concept of Shabbos? We said Shabbos is the Emunah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. There's another aspect of Shabbos, and that's what Pesach's called. Pesach, in the sense called Shabbos, that not only Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, but that creating the world means his involvement in the world. And we're counting from after that Shabbos to tell us not only is he involved in the world, but he's going to reveal his will in the world on Shabbos. I.e. Shabbos is the day of three aspects of connection. The aspect of the creation of the world, the aspect of his involvement in the world, and the aspect of the gilui of his rotzen, the revelation of his rotzen in the world. Those are three aspects that are included in Shabbos. That's why Shabbos is the shorish of all the chagim. All the chagim are related to Shabbos. And that's why the final Shabbos is Olam Haba. When Olam Haba, we will have a realization and a clarity of all three of those connections. It will be so clear that he's creator of the world. It will be so clear that he's involved. We'll see. Radiance will be Ne'ne Meziv Hashchina. And that connection with his will, which is the Ne'ne Meziv Hashchina, it will all come to place in Shabbos HaGadol. So that's why this sphere is connecting us from Shabbos Breishis, Shabbos Pesach, to the ultimate Shabbos, which is the Shabbos of the revelation of his will and the connection to his will, which is Shavuos. How do we do that? Through Sphira, through counting. It's a count-up. Why is that counting weeks and days? There's two aspects. A week has a cycle. Days is a counting up. Some of this I heard from Rabbi Trivitz yesterday. Is a counting up. He explained more al pi de'ari, that when you see in the Kavanas of the Ari, he was explaining there's two aspects. Not that I understand, but there's two aspects. The aspect of what's called to receive the mochim, the cognitive self, that's a building of self intellectually, cognitively. And there's what's called chasadim v'gvuros, the ma'arechet of chasadim v'gvuros, which is the midas, which is creating, improving a person's midas. The sphere, when we count, both aspects of self are being elevated, being improved. The cognitive self, but it goes with the midas. And it came to explain that the concept of cognitive self, right? A person can never reach a full understanding. He can never reach a full understanding of anything. When he gets to a level of understanding, he's always missing it. He has to come back and re-understand. It's always a concept of Kabbalah, receiving, introspection, going back, receiving, introspection. It's a cycle. And he's always going through a cycle of hearing, introspecting, deepening the idea. Even an idea that he's heard, when he thinks about it more and he churns it again and again, there's a recycling of that idea. That's the concept of Shavuos. The concept of the cognitive self goes through a process of cycle. Understanding, receiving, cycling it, going back up, receiving, cycling it, going through. The cognitive self, person can never reach a full understanding. Whereas Midas is a different concept. The concept of Midas, the concept of person improving himself, he doesn't go down, he's always being elevated in his Midas. He's always improving in his Midas. There's always a growth. That's the concept of Yom. Each day he's growing. Each day he's coming closer to his Creator. So that's the two concepts. Now we see that when it comes to Shabbos, we count 7 weeks. We count 7 weeks. We don't count the 50th day. We don't get to the 50th day. The 50th day is not included in the counting of weeks. Because a person can never get to full understanding of Torah. The full understanding of Torah, the full cognitive self, can never be reached. That 50th day has to be given to him. He can't count that. That's a sphere that he has to do in that has to be given to him. The cognitive self he cannot reach in of himself. That's his presence. That's called the Ketarim. His higher elevated self, which is beyond him. That higher elevated self which is beyond him, which is Matan Torah, has to be a Matana. Of course he has to work. He has to introspect. He has to go up and introspect, go further up and introspect, go further up and introspect. Those are the 7 weeks, the 7 levels of introspection. And then he gets Torah as a Matana. However, in Midas, he can count 50 days. Midas is up to him. He has to work. That's his avoda. Those counting of 50 days, that's his avoda. He has to work in his midas. Im ein ani li mili. If it's not you who's working, who's going to work for you? Someone else is going to prevent you from having bad midas? Or you're going to work on having good midas? It has to be your own personal avoda. That's why also it's Sfaratim Lechem. Both has to be your personal avoda. The cognitive level of reaching Torah and the midas. Because without good midas, says Revolbi, you cannot be a vessel for receiving Torah. Just as a good wine, you put it in a good vessel, a clean vessel, if there's a little bit of dirt, the best wine will go bad. So too the Torah. The shiur of Torah, the wine that is put into that vessel, is depends on the vessel. You know, we were in a winery. And in the winery, you know, they told us that they, in the north, they spend hundreds of dollars on these like oak wood, I don't know exactly, that they get from France. So I said, why can you make it here? You have oak here. He said, no, it's a special thing. It's a special way they do it. They're mumchim. Such a, like big deal what sort of oak it is. But it makes such a difference. And it changes, I don't know, the body of the wine or the whatever of the wine, right? It changes somehow the flavor or the, I don't know how to explain it. because I don't know too much about it, but it sounds good. The body of the wine, right? So too, you can have two people. One person's very, very clever. Yeah, he's a very clever boy. And another person's not so clever. But the other person works hard. And his vessel is clean. And that hard work on the cleaning of that vessel, he'll receive a much better wine. Because Torah ultimately is a matana. All the work we do, it's ultimately matana. And there's many, many stories of Gedolei Yisrael that they weren't the cleverest of people. Maram Shif, even I think the Netziv. You know, in the times, in the earlier times, you know, there were, you know, your parents, certainly I think in Europe, the parents would pay for their children, pay for Melamed to teach their children. So if the child wasn't, you know, like, he wasn't going to be a Torah scholar, so like, instead of paying for the child to learn, they would pay for the child to get an apprenticeship and become like a, you know, some woodworker or some, you know, I don't know, blacksmith, no idea what they would do, sewer, I don't know what they used to do, what exactly, some job. Apprenticeship of a job, so you'd know her trade and be able to make a panasa. So the many Gedolei Yisrael, the story goes, I mean, these are famous stories about each one of them, that they hear the parents saying that, you know, we would love a child to be a big Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't have the head for it, it's not working out. And next year we're going to give him over to his apprenticeship. So the story goes, the child heard, and cried and davened and worked very hard, and lo and behold, he got the matana of working, of what's it called, of learning Torah, and he became a Chad Migdoli Yisrael. He writes in his books, the Torah is a matana, and it depends on how much you want. That's why we have a sphera. Why are you counting up? You know, my daughter, when she first got married, right? So like, I thought it was very cute, but afterwards I realized how true it was. She made a chart. I mean, she got married on Lag BaOmer, but she made a chart and she stuck it on the wall. And she had days, like, you know, like a serious omen. Every day she went account to the date of her marriage. And every day she was like ticking it off. Very cute. This day passed, and this day, you know, so like serious omen to the marriage. Very cute. But in actuality, that's exactly what's happening. Matan Torah is a marriage to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're marrying a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Memlechet Kohanim v'goy Kadosh. We're a people of Kohanim, of servers of Kodesh Baruch Hu and Goy Kadosh. And therefore, we're a holy people. Because we're servants of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's the same thing with the Kohanim. The Kohanim are related to us, servants of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We are the Kohanim of the whole world. The Kohanim are the servants of the Jewish people to bring us close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to bring us to that closeness, that korbanos, that they do, bringing us close. But that's what Klal Yisrael are. And that closeness happens when you marry, Shavuos. And we're counting. We're counting towards, we're counting up. Why is it that the improvement of self is done through dibur? The improvement of a person, his cognitive self, his midas is done through dibur. What's so special about dibur? It's a sphera. And sphera means, lispor means to count. But it also means something which is safur, it means it has midah. It's to count in a specific way, in a measurable way. Growth has to be with small increments. You can't run into it. You can't come into Mochon Yaakov, right? Or Mochon Shlomo and start putting on a hat. You know, there are places. No, I'm not a yeshivas. There are people, let's say. There are people who think, you know, all that's being from is wearing that black hat and the white shirt and thing. And it's done. It's easy to do that. They wear the payers, they do the things. No. That's why in the these yeshivas, there's no way they allow a boy to wear these black hats and these, right? I was there Erusin yesterday, right? And I saw some of the boys in the mirror. So now they will have a sphere beard, and they have a black hat, and they have, like 2 weeks ago, I saw, or 3 weeks ago, however long ago it was, I saw them, and they look like, like regular guys. Now they look like regular mirror guys. Just the black, right? Just the coat, and the thing, and the beard, and the, right? It's so quick to put it on. That isn't what makes you different. It's the 2 years of learning before going to yeshiva which makes the difference. And then wearing the black hat, or whatever it is that they decide to do, right? It's just a periphery of something which they already really have. You understand what I'm saying? There has to be a sphera. There has to be an incremental growth. But it has to be a growth through dibur. What does it mean through dibur? That's why I told you. The beginning of the parsha is Parsha's Emo. It's not stam that Kedusha comes through dibur. If you want to know the das of a person, what's a person thinking, right? What's called dibur? Dibur is called gilui das, a revelation of his das. If a person speaks in a certain way, you can see the type of person he is. If he speaks in a wrong, improfane way, like you see, I mean, you see people who speak. I'm not, Baruch Hashem doesn't occur in this yeshiva at all, but you see in the outside world, there's certain languages that people speak. They speak like bad language, right? It tells you a lot about who that person is. How? Sorry? Because speech is called Gilui Das, it's called the revelation of your Das, right? And it's associated with the Midas. The Midas is the Chasadim and Gvuras, is that aspect of a person's Das. When his cognitive self permeates his cognitive self becomes part and one with his goof, so there's a gili of das tov. He has das tov, and his dibu will be dibu tov, will be a proper dibu. That's why divrei chachamim, the words of chachamim, benachat nishmaim, they are heard with softness. You never hear a rabbi screaming, or maybe in learning, that's a different form. That's not because he's screaming. It's because the Torah is so important to him that it hurts him when he doesn't understand something. When someone says something that doesn't make sense, he'll scream. Like you see Rabbi Chiris, he'll scream about learning. But if you speak to him, if it's in learning, you hear him, right? But if it's not in learning, he's a very, very quiet person. You know, he hardly speaks anything else, right? But literally. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you'll notice, most Rebbeim, who you know, and who you respect, right? The dibur in which they speak is very softly spoken. They're not shouting. Yeah? You understand? The dibur is what creates in a person, or is a revelation within a person, and defines who he is. So that's why, now I'm going to relate it, and that's why sphera has to be done through dibur. Because that dibur, and the way you're sofer, is a revelation of who you are. And that's why the Ramban says, if you want to control anger, and you want to reach the level of anava, how does he tell you do it? The Igeres Ramban. You know the famous letter of the Ramban that he wrote to his son? Yeah? He says that you speak softly. You control your dibur. You think about what you say before you say it. And that controls you not getting angry. And that brings you from level of anava. And he says even Ruach HaKodesh. And it's done through speech. A person can reach Ruach HaKodesh through the controlling of his speech. Through thinking about what he says before he says it. It's not easy. If you try thinking before speaking, I'm telling you, you're not going to be speaking much. Not only you're not going to be speaking much, what you say is going to be very, very concise and very, very clear. and it's going to hurt. Try it for 2 minutes in a day. 2 minutes in a day, say, whatever you're going to speak now, you're going to think about it before you speak it. We don't even know what that means. What do you think about something before I speak it? Like, you don't even know where the thinking is before the speaking is, right? It's so much, you know, there's even some people in learning, right? I find a lot more and more nowadays that's with Talmidim, it's much, much more. That they don't have to think, they don't learn to think. When they don't understand something, they talk about it. They don't like think about what they don't understand and then ask a question. They speak out all what's going on in their head. So you have to stop them and you tell them, wait, no talking. I have a question, think about the question, give me an answer, but you're not allowed to talk. 5 minutes of thinking. No one's allowed to give an answer before 5 minutes. And you have to be quiet. You have to sometimes teach people to think without verbalizing it. People don't know. It's such a world of speaking gibberish and speaking unimportant stuff that whatever's in a person's head, he's so used to just speaking it. Doesn't have anything which is like in the head and not a spoken word. There's no like quietness. There's no like internality. It's a world of externality. So everything's spoken. You with me? People who are more internal don't speak much. They speak very little. But they speak correct things. It doesn't mean they don't speak very little when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and being friendly and stuff like that. That's a different question. But when you see them in a serious matter, or when you see them talking, you'll see them more thinking than speaking. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? So that's why speech is so important. That's why the kedusha of a person is through his speech. And that's why this parasha is called Emor. Emor v'amauta. Lazhir gdolim al ktanim. That you teach your children through speech. And that brings them into the kahuna. That brings them into kedusha. That's what it says at the beginning of the parasha. You with me? Understand what I'm saying? And that's why the parasha ends with this whole story. Vayetze ben isha, Yisraelit, v'hu ben ish mitzri, betoch bnei Yisrael. V'inatsu, and they fought, b'machane, because he came from Shevet Dan. But his father was this Egyptian who had relations with this Yisraelit, v'ish ha-Yisraeli, ben ish, right? V'inatsu b'machane, forma ben ha-Yisraelit, the son of a Jewish woman, the Ish, a Israeli, and the man of a Jew, V'yikov ben ha'ish ha'Israeli, and the et Hashem, V'yikalel, he was Mekalel Hashem. And Chazal tell us here, they were fighting about a piece of land, because it was Meshevet Dan, and they went to the base of Medrash, base din of Moshe, and Moshe paskened against him. He went out, it was Mekalel Hashem, V'yaviu oto el Moshe, V'shem Imo, what was the name of his Imo? Shlomit Bat Divri. Shlomit, the daughter of speech. Lamate Dan. Why? Chazal says she would go around saying, Shalom Aleichem, to everyone who was there. Until some Mitzri. You know the story of the Mitzri? Remember the story in Chumash Shmos? Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu saw this person hitting this man and he realized that this was the Shlomit Bat Divri's husband. And he went and he did at night what happened with her. And this child came from it. This child came because of what? Because of too much external speech of the mother. So therefore the child had a pogrom in his speech. And therefore, he finally... What's the worst form of speech? The worst form of speech is being mekalel chas v'shalom. Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you mekalel chas v'shalom Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're saying he's light, it's unimportant. That's not the tachlis abriya. When your speech does that, you have no reason for living. But when you do a sfira sa'omer, when your speech is counting towards tachlis abriya, which is the connection on Har Sinai to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that speech is speech of life. That speech is speech of death. You understand the difference? That's why this parasha is called Parshas Emo. And that's why this parasha is a special kedusha. And even a regular Yisrael has a certain concept of Memlechet Kahanim, a nation of Kahanim. So even though these laws don't apply to Yisrael, and many of them even today don't apply to a Kohen, the concept of these things, yes, you can marry a grusha, you can marry a divorced lady, yes, you can marry an almana, someone, but a ptula mi'amav, someone who's a pure girl, there's a maila even for Yisrael, avada, there's a kedusha. I'm not saying chas v'shalom, I'm not saying you shouldn't marry certain types of girls. What? It was tinuk shenish, but what happened, happened. It didn't happen with a proper kavana or anything like that, right? Not posting anyone, chas v'shalom, right? But there's a concept of Kedushas Yisrael. There's a concept. And there's a concept of to be mafrish from dvarim mechuarim, dvarim that bring a person to tumah, bring a person to impurity. We're Klal Yisrael, but the main purity comes from a person's speech. That's the shorish of all Kedusha. And, like we said in the previous parasha, and there's a relation to it, the shorish of all Kedusha is what? Being mafrish from arayas. So, what's the kesha between arayas and speech? If a person understands well, understands the similar concept. Let me explain. First of all, there's a Gemara. The Gemara in Ksuva says that it speaks about a woman having relationships. So it says, "Va'achla u'machta piha." She ate and she cleaned her mouth. So you see, the eating is a kinui for this lashon. So you see, something to do with your mouth, right? And also, we're explaining the concept of connection, right, of physical connection. We know it's called Vayada et Chava Ishto. Man knew his wife. They say biblically knew. It doesn't mean, it means the connection physically, proper physical connection, is when there's a cognitive, when there's a deep emotional and cognitive and spiritual connection, and it's, there's a hashlama, there's a completion in the physical connection. But that's the idea, that's when you know your wife. Right? You with me? So we see the concept of connection is a concept of das. We just said when a person speaks, when you speak to another human being, you're revealing your das. You're connecting with them on a cognitive way. That's also a connection. You with me? That's why this Divrit, she was called Shlomit Bat Divri, the Matedan, right? Shalom Aleichem. She was saying Shalom Aleichem to everyone. She was connecting in an improper way. That connection through speech in an improper way brought on her the improper physical connection, which ended up with the son born from that being Mekal al Hashem, which is a use of speech in the completely worst form of use, of negating Chas v'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence through the klala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas v'Shalom in the world. You with me? So, we see that this dibul, this concept of dibul, is a concept of the way a person connects to the world. When a person says proper speech, when he has proper speech, he's connecting to the world in a proper way. When he has improper speech, he's connecting in a wrong way. So too, when a person connects with a wife, he's connecting in a proper way. When he connects, chas v'shalom, to other things, he's connecting in an improper way. Ad kedei kach, the Gro says it's the same when a person speaks dvarim betelim, nonsensical speech, for no good reason. That doesn't mean when you talk to a friend, or you talk to a wife, or you talk to parents, or you talk to someone to become friendly with them, or you joke with them. I'm not saying you can't talk. But an improper, or chas v'shalom, loshon hara, when a person speaks, that's an improper speech, that's a disconnect. He says, that's as if chas v'shalom, a person has an issue, something comes out from him and goes to waste. All improper connections are when his essence is wasted. So when his speech is wasted, his essence, his soul, his das is being spilt. his neshama kiviyachol is being spilled. His seed is being spilled. So too with improper connections. His seed is being spilled. He's wasting his essence. The wasting of essence is the shorish of all averas. And the expression of essence in a proper way is the source of all mitzvahs. That's why the first mitzvah of the Torah, and I've said this many times, is pru revu. And the Kabbalists say that all mitzvahs are this concept of pru revu, because it's the expression of one essence in a proper way, in a creative way, which produces something in the world, which creates something in the world. You with me? Make sense? The Zohar says, when a person, that this avera of losing part of yourself has no tshuva, you can't do tshuva for it. It's wasted, you lost it, that's it, finished. Can't do tshuva. It's a very, very chamor issa, right? However, there is tshuva. The tshuva is, and if you understand clearly, the wasting of essence can be replenished with the connection, the reconnection of that wasted essence. How do you reconnect to it? You reconnect to it through dibul, through proper dibul. Because when your dibul becomes an expression of your essence, so then that's the tshuva to the wasting of your essence. You're reconnecting with your essence, you're re-expressing your proper essence. That's, and what's that called? That's called Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah is the way to do tshuva for any spilling of essence, of any wasting of essence, because you're reconnecting. You with me? So, that's why this period, the time of Shovavim is a time where there's Tikkun Habris, because a person has to understand it. I'm not going to go into it now, but the concept of Egypt was a Tikkun of the wasted seed, so to speak, of Adam HaRishon. And Mitzrayim was a tikkun of that sin. And it was, and the purpose of Mitzrayim, if you understand that, I can't go into that, but the purpose of Mitzrayim, we know from Chumash Rashi, is to come to Har Sinai. Har Sinai is the completion of that fixing, i.e. Divrei Torah is the completion of that. You with me? Make sense to you? Mm-hmm. Chazal say, Eva Kotten Yesh Be'ish. A person has a small Eva. It's unlike other Avarim. In that, Chazal says, if you feed it, it's hungry. If you starve it, it's satisfied. What does it mean, feed it, and what does it mean, starve it? Feeding it means, obviously, a simple pshat, but a more understandable pshat means, it depends what you see, what you look at. If you look at things, if you notice things, if you, you know, and it's very hard nowadays with all the internet and all these other things, and things pop up and pop down, right? And all sorts of things happen there, right? Things are shown. That's more rare. That's feeding it. If you're going to feed it, or if you go in the streets and things you see, especially in the summer, right? That's called feeding it. And certainly if you go back to America, in certain places in America, it's like, you know, I don't know how people, you know, they get so, maybe so used to it, they don't notice it, I don't know. But, you understand? That's called feeding it. The more a person feeds it, the more he's going to have a problem. The less he feeds it, he's not going to have a problem. I mean, think about it. Many boys were in college. It was very hard for them, these sorts of things. They came to yeshiva, right? And they don't see anything. And all of a sudden, it doesn't come so hard. When does it become hard? When they go out, when they think, then it becomes hard. Because they notice things. So that's the way of preventing it. And also, you have to be honest with yourself. You know, you're young, right? You have all the hormones. You should really be married, right? So you have to protect yourself. You have to protect yourself from seeing things. You have to protect yourself from being certain places where you shouldn't be. Because those things will bring on certain feelings and then it'll be hard. You understand? So, Bezal Hashem, you know, this is not an easy thing for boys. But a person should protect himself by not feeding himself. Not seeing things. Not connecting with things. Right? The eye connects. The eye is just not, oh, I just saw something that makes no difference. No. Says Chazal, the eye is shoev. The eye draws in. When you see something, you draw in part of that thing to you. It becomes somewhat part of you. There's some sort of connection. You know, even in the physical, even in the, you know, the lahavdil, the world, they say you have eye contact, right? I don't know exactly, but you have, there's a concept. When you look at a person, right? When you're talking to a person, you look at this difference. It's not, the eye contact doesn't just mean you have eye contact, you're looking at a person. You're connecting. You with me? Now, there's two ways of connecting. There's a connecting of drawing in, and there's a connecting of going outside of the eye. The drawing in of the eye is the ayin ra. When you see something you want it, you desire it, that's an ayin ra. You want to draw it into you. When you see someone, you want to help them, and you feel bad for them, right? And you feel you want to give of yourself to other people in a good way, right? That's an ayin tova. But okay, that's not our sugya here, but so we will finish here with that's the end of the concept of the parsha. The concept of kedusha is a proper gili of that das, a proper gili of your dibur. That's the concept of sphere. So omer, that's the concept of emor, the amira, the kahanim. An amira is what brings a person, the proper amira, proper revelation of his das, what brings a person to kedusha. And chas v'shalom, an improper amira can bring a person ultimately to be mekalel Hashem and to remove himself from a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu through kol, the kol kol Yaakov, the dibur of tefillah, the speech of tefillah, and the speech of Torah. That's the way we connect, and that's what brings us our kedusha. And you will see in the world that those people who are kadosh, first of all, the people of very short words, and the people who have thought out in their words, and the people who have very kind words. And when they speak, there's a warmth in their voice. There's a caring in their voice. And it's not something that you hear on tape. It's something you feel when you speak with them. You hear that they care. You hear that you're important to them. That's a connection of dibur. Dibur, as I always tell people, it's not the same as coming to a shir and hearing a shir. It doesn't matter, you know, all the tapes in the world. But when you're with a rabbi or with a rabbi in class and you're hearing and he's speaking, you're connecting with him. He's not just connecting to his words, you're connecting with the person, you're connecting what he represents. And that's what a shir is supposed to be. A shir or a teaching is a hora. It's a herayon. Because his essence is being impregnated in you. And it creates something in you. Just as, you know, when you impregnate a woman, she creates the child. Actually, this week's parsha, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says it. He speaks here, that you see that the child was named after his mother. It says that most of the teva of a child comes from the mother. It means you get impregnated with something and then it's formed within the mother. And the mother, he says, the mother feeds the child. And the feeding of the child is also an influence of its mother. So he says, and that's why it's very important to marry a girl who's sanua, who's modest. Obviously, Baris Midas was speaking about. But what was her chisaron? She wasn't a modest lady. She's going around speaking to everyone. You want to marry a modest woman, a humble woman. Modesty in a woman is humility in a man. And humility is the best of all midas, contains all the midas, says Chazal. So those are things. Modest doesn't mean, you know, necessarily, you can see in a way a person dresses, in a way a person holds himself. You can see that in people. That's what you should be looking for in a girl. And obviously good midas, right? That's also a very, very important thing. Bizarre Hashem, you'll all find one.
Amen.
Okay, stop here.